Who are the lost? Who are they? Who are the lost? Okay. Any other descriptors? Who are the lost?
The unbelieving.
The unbelieving, right? Any other descriptors you can think of?
Destitute.
The destitute, okay. The forgotten, right? Jesus came to the lost, right? I mean, he says that several times. I come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who were the lost sheep of the house of Israel?
Jews.
Okay. The Pharisees, right? The Sadducees? The Essenes? The Zealots? So a little explanation on why I'm not standing and speaking to you. Part of my job entails that I go and do surveys on abandoned houses, and that's just a nice way of saying crack houses and whore houses that down in Mansfield that are scheduled for demolition. They're not in very nice neighborhoods, and there's all sorts of activity that goes on in these houses, and they're usually filled with trash and other things. And part of my job is, prior to demolition, to make sure that there's nothing in these homes that should be removed. In other words, we don't want to demolish the home and then have something hazardous or dangerous being spread to the neighboring houses. Well, as you can imagine, these homes are generally not in very good condition. So as I was going up to the second floor, the steps gave way underneath me, and I plunged. So that's happened to me probably half a dozen times. This time, however, it got me. So I managed to land improperly on my ankle, and that's why I'm not able to walk today. Who are the lost today? Who are they? If Jesus were to come today and said, I'm here for the lost of America, where would we find him?
Everywhere.
Specifically, you think he'd be in Hollywood? If I had to say, if I'm going to find Jesus, where would I expect him to be speaking, to be ministering?
Right.
When Jesus speaks of the lost, he is referring to a very specific group of people. These are the people that do not have access to God. Not necessarily that they don't know about him. They don't have access to him. How is God's healing, how is God's forgiveness, and how is God's mercy going to reach people? How do we do that today? Because I'll tell you what, Jesus is here. So how does God's mercy get to the lost? You know the answer, right? Us, right? In a sense, we become Jesus. We want to be like him. We must act like him. So who are the people today that don't have access to God? Well, anyone could just come into the church, right? Well, maybe. Maybe they're not physically able. I was visiting Fred. We went to visit him a couple weeks ago on a Sunday. Unfortunately, he was taking a nap, so we didn't get a chance to talk to him. But that nursing home was filled with people that may not have access to God. Okay. Part of my job, where I go into Mansfield, into these communities, I see a lot of people that don't have access to God. Well, there's a church down there on the corner, yes. But that's different than having access to God. Access to his healing, to his forgiveness, and to his mercy. When Jesus created the church, that was our job. That is our job. is to bring his healing, forgiveness, and mercy to the lost. Jesus knew in order to accomplish this mission, when he came into Palestine, he was going to have to break down, or at least reorder, three key components of the society. And those three things were money, power, and I don't have a really good term for this, I'll just call it clickiness. The nature or the of humanity to kind of create groups, to have an us versus them mentality. An in or an out. Jesus had to radically alter our view of these three concepts in order to create a group of people who could reach the lost. Many times where Jesus speaks about having wealth and money can actually be a hindrance in you reaching the lost. Because if your goal and your pursuit is to acquire wealth, to acquire items, and that is the end game, then you're not going to be interested in taking those items and those things and dispersing them to those who may need them. The early church, when they first formed the church, they would sell their excess stuff, their excess property, their excess items that they didn't need anymore, and they pooled that money. If we have excess stuff that we are not using, that we just have because we like stuff, that can be a hindrance to reaching the lost. Second thing he had to break down was power, status. Many of the people that were lost could not even enter the temple because they were considered unclean or defiled. How many people today don't come in church or won't come to church because they feel like that's not a place for me? Church is for good people. Well, church is where they are, whether that's in Mansfield or whether that's out in the country. It is not necessarily this building. We need to take the mercy and forgiveness of God where they are. That's where Christ went. How much time did he spend in Jerusalem versus how much time did he spend out in the surrounding towns and communities? Spent most of his time up around Galilee, poor region. He only went to Jerusalem for the Passover when he had to. He went where the poor were, where the people who didn't have power were. So who are the people that don't have prestige today? They're the drug addicts. They're the convicts. They're maybe the people that, by society standards, wouldn't be intellectual. We might call them kind of dumb. The third thing that Jesus had to break down or re-alter is, again, that the tendency of people to collect into groups, to have an in and an out. Call it solidarity. It's not too surprising that the Jews had this mentality because in Deuteronomy, it actually commands them to. It's written in Deuteronomy, take care of your neighbor, your own people. Well, if you limit who your own people are, then you only have to take care of the people inside this building. And there are some Christian churches that are like that, where it's just us. We're a group. We're a clique. We take care of one another in here. Well, yes. We have to take care of them out there, too. We have to ask for healing for them, forgiveness for them. We have to share with what we have with them. Really, the message of Jesus is simple. It is. Love God. Love your neighbor. Every other thing Every parable, every question that is brought to him is, well, yes, but what about in this case? Yes, love your neighbor. Well, but Jesus, what if my neighbor wrongs me? Do I still have to love him? Yeah, but Jesus, surely you don't mean Samaritans, right? And Gentiles. We don't have to love them, do we? They're not my neighbor. Well, Jesus, what about those outcasts over there, those prostitutes? I mean, they are sinners. They're not my neighbor, are they? It really isn't any more complicated than that. Love people for who they are. Don't expect anything in return. Forgive them because they're human. Give them food to eat because they live and they need it. Show them love and kindness because they're human. There really isn't anything else to it. We complicate it. We make it difficult. We always come up with a yes, but what if? But that person's a convict. I can't trust them. Yeah, but that person does drugs, Jesus. Surely I don't have to bring mercy and forgiveness to that person. They're still doing drugs. Well, you don't know what so-and-so did 2 to 3 years ago. You should hear the stories that are in our community, Jesus. What do you think he'd say to us? Love God. Love your neighbor. Everybody is your neighbor. Everybody is your family. When they asked him, who's your family, Jesus, who did he say? Did he say Mary, James, John, Joseph? No. These people are my family. He said, I've not come to bring peace. I have come to divide. Right? Divide mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Notice where the division is there. It's a generation. Right? He's dividing the old tradition from the new way things are going to be. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. That old tradition that you have been following is gone. We are not going to use that any longer. This is a new way of treating people, of showing them love and peace. Jesus dealt with each person on an individual basis. Any person that came into his life or into his thoughts, he never excluded anybody. Everybody was loved for their own sake, not for the sake of their ancestry, their race, what position they held, what religion they might be, whatever nationality they were, whatever class. They were loved for their own sake, not their intelligence, not their achievements, not their family history. In a concrete, very personal sense, Jesus loved all people. And he lived in solidarity with all humanity. This is why he sided with the poor, with the oppressed, with the sinner. People that had nothing to recommend to him except that they were human. People who've been excluded by others. The nobodies, the discarded, the forgotten people of this world. That is who we are called to. So as you go about your life this week, think of the nobodies that you come in contact with. Let them feel like somebody. You know, it doesn't take much. I don't have a lot of interaction with the people, the neighbors up in Mansfield. And I don't have this down. I'm not perfect. But you know what? I smile at them. I talk to them. I ask them how their day is going. I just treat them like a person. That's really all Jesus is asking us to do. Show them love, kindness, and peace as if they were a member of your family. Because that's somebody's son or daughter or mother or father. And they deserve better. Love God. Love others. That's all there is to it.